Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear, and we're going to talk about a little bit about being manliness today, a little bit about training, some things that kind of like the news is today, where every single thing you have to question. We're going to talk a little bit about what women want according to a psychiatrist. That'd be interesting, and if you're a female listening to this, please don't get mad at me. This is just what a bunch of studies show, but I think it's interesting, and I think it's interesting for people that are going to be raising children. If you raise weak boys, as this shows in this article, which I'm going to read you, women love to claw up weak men. So if you don't want that happening to your son, raise a freaking man, not a wimp. Before we get into today's show, though, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They have copper tags, which they've been doing for years. They have all kind of stuff for the outdoorsmen, trapping, hunting, fishing. They just great company to work with. You just check them out at funkytraptagsandsupplies.com. There's a link at the bottom of the show. You're dealing with a company that's honest. You're dealing with a company that will definitely get you what you want to get. So, I find these things just fascinating. Clinical psychologist, quote, women hate harmless men. Now see, that is not what we hear in the news, is it? We want, because I think it's clarified down in here by dangerous but civilized. That's kind of what a real man is. He's dangerous, but he is civilized. He's not a butthole. He's not a bully. He's not all of these stereotypes that you see in movies or all the stereotypes that feminists want to talk about. He can be dangerous when needed, but he's mostly very civilized. Many modern men have been propagandized to believe the modern woman wants nice, sensitive, empathetic guys who make them feel safe. And then they are perplexed and frustrated when eventually they find themselves dumped, divorced, and relegated to the friend zone with no sex. According to Jordan Peterson, clinical psychologist, professor of psychology at the University of Toronto, a popular speaker, such results are not surprising. When he spoke to a gathering of people earlier this year, his thoughts on what women really want in a man supported a stereotypical Then women are attracted, and he's basically saying that women are attracted to assholes. Now, He's been a little bit using some hyperbole. So, okay, there's a bit of hyperbole in the stereotype, but I don't believe that the asshole is the most accurate designation for this kind of man that a woman wants. But the hyperbole gets the truth that Peterson more adequately teases out of his thoughts, some of which have been transcribed below. This is from Peterson. This is what Peterson says. If you've never heard of Jordan Peterson, he's a masterful, intelligent, eloquent man that speaks about a lot of things in our life, but a lot of them has to do with men need to grow up to be men. It's been really interesting for me to watch the response of young Caucasian males to hip-hop. You know, there's an aggressiveness about hip-hop that's really attractive to young Caucasian males. And there's something absurd about the spectacle of young Caucasian males taking up the persona of an inner-city black gang member. But I'm sympathetic to it because there's an aggressiveness to the art form that's necessary, corrective, to the highest moral virtue for modern man. It's harmless, which is absurd. Women don't like harmless men. They hate them. They like to claw them apart. What women want are dangerous men who are civilized. And they want to help civilize them. That's the beauty and the beast. We've all seen that. And, you know, I'll say this, you know, I've talked to many a young woman who think they're going to change or civilize their man. And they do to a point. They definitely can knock off some rough edges. But if they turn them into one of these woke, weak, oversympathetic, cry as fast as you do, just frazzles out at every single thing in the world, they end up not liking them. Because, you know, they might as well be a lesbian at that point. I mean, what's the difference? Okay, now this is something he says that I find really extraordinary the way he puts this together, because I've wondered this same thing. How many of you know about harlequin romance? So there's this archetype stories that's a taming of the wild man, especially by desirable and virgin women. And if you think women don't want that, then you're bloody better come up with an explanation for 50 Shades of Grey, which is the most rapid-selling novel in human history and emerged at exactly the same time as all the noise about the absence of gender roles that is being produced en masse. Peterson bolsters his case by revealing a blushworthy statistic: what Google engineers discovered as the five most desirable male entities used in female pornography. Now, when they're using pornography, they're also talking about romance, because to a woman, they're not turned on the same way guys are with visual. They're turned on by mental. So it's very different. But what are these traits that women find the five most desirable male traits? A vampire, a werewolf, a billionaire, a surgeon, and a pirate. And if you will notice, weak guys that act like doormats don't crack up to what women find most attractive. A vampire, dangerous. Werewolf, dangerous. When most people think of billionaire, do they think about a doormat? No. How about a surgeon? Most surgeons have a god complex. They make a lot of money. Pirates just go about their life doing whatever they want to do. So when we hear all of this craziness about how women want men to basically be girls, I think maybe on a logical way, they want somebody that's empathetic, which a real man is. They want someone that's going to support them, which a real man would. They want somebody that will be a friend to them, be security for them, be willing to sacrifice for them. But they don't want a doormat. They don't want little soy boys that are acting just like high school girls all the time. It gets old. And like I said, if you're going to go that route, just be a lesbian. So if you're raising a young man, or you are a young man, and you're falling into this friend zone all the time, I hate to bust your bubble, but you're just being too nice. There's nothing dangerous about you. There's no physicality about you. There's nothing about you that a woman is going to be turned on by. You might be her friend, but you're not going to be her friend, if you get what I mean. So just keep that in mind when you hear all this stuff. It's bullcrap. Women are women. Men are men. Biology is biology. And like I said, logically, women want somebody that's empathetic and cares about them and wants to help them and support them and wants them to listen to them, which a real man would anyway. But there's way more to the brain. I heard an interesting analogy about this. You have the logical brain. That's the brain that we think we live in every day. We can do math. We can divide numbers. We can talk about science. We can talk about the stock market, diet. We can talk about all this stuff. That's a logical brain. And then you have the primeval brain, the brain that's got, you know, depending on what your religion is, thousands of years of training or millions of years of training. That's where the fight and flight comes from. That's where you feel weird when you get around a person and you're not sure why. That's how you can be in a situation where your hair starts standing up. You logically have no idea why that's going on, but your brain, the primeval part, the old part, the subconscious part, it's relaying more information than anything else. And this analogy that I heard, I thought was genius. You've got the logical brain, which is this little bitty guy that's sitting on top of an elephant, and he's riding this elephant around. And he puts the reins to the left, and the elephant goes to the left. He puts it to the right, and the elephant goes to the right. The little guy on top, the logical brain, logically thinks that he's in charge of the elephant until a mouse runs out across the trail. No matter what the little logical man does, the elephant, which is the subconscious, the primeval brain, panics, runs, and is uncontrollable. I think a lot of what women are looking for in men is not coming from that logical part of the brain. It's coming from the primeval part of the brain. They want somebody that's strong, secure, a little bit dangerous. Why do you think, and I know if you're a guy that's always been in the friend zone, it's probably so frustrating to you because the girls always go for the bad boys, which makes no sense to you because you're more dependable, you're more reliable, you listen to them. And the other guys maybe not be quite as nice, but that's who they go for, isn't it? It's confusing to the doormat why he's a doormat. I want to break off to talk about training a little bit. Last time I talked about the conjugate method from Westside Barbell, and I want to break these down. I've been on this journey for a long time. I've studied diet when I was fat. I was curious about it. I've done all kind of different things. I have, I played around with weights when I was in high school playing football. I played around with them a little bit when I was in the military. When I was in my mid-30s, I did a stint of about 6 months just because I was just feeling so bad physically at 300 plus pounds. That I wanted to do something to get in shape, and the idea of running after the military just didn't make any sense. I mean, I don't like hiking now because it reminds me of road marching. I do walk 30 minutes a day with my wife during lunch. It's very good. It's very healthy. I like it. But I don't want to go out and do like massive walks. So, I've started really getting in depth with this, and like I said before, it's as I've gotten older, I've realized I've been getting weaker. I've realized that things don't work the same. I've realized my balance is off. I've realized it's hard to get out of a chair and all this type of stuff. I'm 51 years old, and this shouldn't be. So what little bit of weight training I did know when I was in high school and in between was what you get from bodybuilding, hypertrophy. Building up your muscles, not really worried about strength, not really thinking about ligaments, not thinking about general preparedness, not thinking about a lot of this thing. And I'm not sure that's the most practical way for an older guy to really work. And I don't think it's the most practical way for a younger guy, unless he's going to be a bodybuilder that competes, to really worship at the altar of bodybuilding. I think it's a great sport. I think there's a lot of good lessons in it. There's a lot of dedication. There's a lot of discipline. A lot of good things going to someone that's going to do that. But is it for someone that's training for life? Is that really what they want? And this many books that I've read and experimenting with myself, especially starting at age 49 lifting weights, I've learned through my own experience, and I've learned through other people's experience, and it keeps bringing me back to this conjugate system, which basically is a form of controlled chaos for becoming a stronger organism. Conjugate system is the term used by Westside Barbell, and they really work on your general fitness, which we will talk about. They work on dynamic, which is speed and explosiveness, and they work on pure strength. And then they have accessories where you don't blow your body up just doing deadlifts and squats and benches. You build those muscles up to build up what you're trying to build up, which is makes way more sense to me than a lot of the programs that I've seen. And I can tell you from my personal experience going about it this way, you get stronger at benching by building your triceps, not by benching. You get stronger at deadlifts by doing good mornings, not by doing deadlifts. You get stronger at squatting by box squatting. And it's a very almost precise form of chaos. From the outside looking in, it seems very confusing. But you have a max effort day, you have a dynamic day, which is speed, and then you have general preparedness and special exercises, and you work on whatever the goals on that you have. If you've got a weak back, you work on your back. If you've got weak glutes, you work on your glutes. If you've got weak arms, you work on your arms. It's not like you're trying to build everything up exactly the same as you would in bodybuilding, where it's for looks. This is for function. One of those days is max effort day. And I can tell you that a bodybuilder will roll his eyes and say, "You cannot do this." That's because most people don't understand what a conjugate system is, and they don't understand what chaos is and how your body adapts to chaos. So max effort day, what is it? So if you want to start playing around with a conjugate system, we're going to take a bench press, for example, because everybody knows what a bench press is. You do a dynamic day, which is speed day, and 72 hours later, you do a max effort day. This max effort day is exactly what it says, max effort. You're maxing out. Now, if you max out on a deadlift, a bench press, 3 weeks in a row, I can tell you what's going to happen. It took me about 4 weeks, but the bench press became harder at the specific weights. My body got used to the bench press. It got used to the movement. And I wasn't building up the other body parts that actually make the bench press function more efficiently. So we're going to say on our max effort day, we're going to do benching. And we bench max out. I did this a couple of weeks ago. My max on bench at the present is 315. It's went up from 305 to 315 in about a month. I'm happy with that. It's progression. I'm not in a hurry. It's progression. Now, say I start with one exercise, the bench press for max effort day. And I do 135, and I'll do like three sets of five, because I do believe when you get older, you do have to warm up more than you did when you were younger. Stuff just needs more blood flow to work properly. And then I'll go to 185 and I'll do three reps, and I'll do 205 and three reps, and 225 for a couple of reps, then 245 for a rep, and 275 for a rep, and then 305 for a rep. And then if I could have got any more weight over 315, it would have been no more than maybe 5 pounds. That's done for dynamic day. It takes maybe 15 minutes. You put a lot of stress on you, but you're forcing your body to get used to the idea of stressing. You're an organism. You're trying to change. And then the next week, lo and behold, even though your bench press is what you're thinking about, you do not bench press. Last week, I did an incline bench press. I maxed it out at 275. This week, I'm going to do an overhead press with a Rogue Log. I have no idea. Never maxed out on that. Never thought about maxing out on that. I'm kind of curious what it's going to be. It's not going to be 275. It may be 140. It may be 150. I'm not sure what it's going to be. Actually, that's what I'm doing today. And then the next week, I may do a close bench press, max out completely, only taking 15 or 20 minutes. That is the max effort exercise of the day. You don't do two, you don't do three, you don't do anything like that. Then you have special exercises. And these special exercises are forms to build up the bench press. That's when you work on building chest and triceps and shoulders and upper back, which has a lot to do with the bench press, even though most people don't realize that. So what do you do on your special exercises on the max effort that you're doing for bench day? You do stuff that's going to grow your bench. If you just bench all the time, you're going to hit a plateau really, really quick. Now, if you've never lifted weights before, this is not going to happen to you probably for 6 to 8 months. You can go in, you can figure out that you can do, say, 185. Next week you can do 195, then 205, then 225. Then you will eventually, because you're new to it and your muscles are in chaos at this time, you will be able to bump that weight up. But it doesn't last very long. And if you're curious on how this works, there's a book that you can get called Starting Strength from Coach Ripito. And that's kind of what his bread and butter is this beginner's phase of building strength. And then he goes to like a Texas 5x5, which you can look that up also. But eventually, you need to confuse your body to make it stronger. So after I do my overhead press with a Rogue Log today, next thing I'm going to do is some JM presses for my triceps, and then I'll do some extensions for my triceps. I'll do probably 4 sets of somewhere between 8 and 10. And then I will do some side lateral raises for my side shoulders. I will do some bent over raises for my rear delts. And then I will do some upper back work, which using my spud cable that I got from Elite Fitness, which was it's an amazing machine. I plan on doing some videos on that because it's, for someone with a home gym, I mean, it's really cool. And it's not expensive, like buying a cable machine. And then I will do some pull downs, and then I will do at 200, and I think last time I weighed it was around 275. For me to do pull-ups at 275, that's a lot of stress. But I can do three. So I will do probably 4 sets of 3 after I do some pulling of some type with a cable. And then I'm done. I go heavy today, and I work on the special exercise that's going to build up the bench. Even though I'm not benching, I'm doing an overhead press. Next week, it could be a close bench press. The week after that, it could be a floor press. The week after that, it could be a decon press. So before I get back to a regular bench press, we're talking 2 months maybe. But I'm building all those muscles up, strength, the stuff that you use every day. I'm not allowing strong muscles to become strong and weak muscles to stay weak. I'm forcing the organism of myself to adapt to be able to have power. And when you look at a lot of the stuff today that has to do with fitness, you're going to see that maxing out is frowned upon by a lot of people because they max out on the same thing. Maxing out when you do it on different exercises does not wreck your body the way it is if you try to max out on a bench press every week. I've tried that. That was a disaster on strength. But I'm really curious what's going to happen in 2 months when I go back to a bench press. I bet you I can get more than 315. Because there's a lot of science behind this. There's a whole lot of data over years behind this. It's just not popular in the modern fitness industry. And why is that? Because it's hard. Because it takes a lot of guts to max out on something. It's a lot of strain. It's short, it's over quick, but it's not easy. And what does the fitness industry want to do today? They want to make everything easy. Strength doesn't come from easy. Strength doesn't come from high reps. Strength doesn't come from doing 3 sets of 10 or 4 sets of 8. Strength comes from making the muscles prove that they can push something heavier than they could before, because you built up the muscles that make them make the movement stronger to begin with. Max effort day. You only do this on a pressing movement, and you only do this on squats and deadlifts. But you don't do squats and deadlift maxing out per week, because you don't max out on squat and deadlift all that often. Squats and deadlifts use the same muscles. Pulling. That's why you work on good mornings and back raises and stiff-legged deadlifts and rack pulls and pulling a sled and all the different things that build up the lower back, the middle back, the glutes, and the hams, which is what makes a squat or a deadlift go up higher. And a lot of people are going to think, well, that's just too much. Well, that's 52 times a year. If you did it every week of the year, which most people won't because of vacations and holidays and stuff like that. 52 times a year, you train your body to be strong. See, that is, out of 365 on a press, that doesn't seem that drastic. It really doesn't. And if you don't push big weights, you are not going to build the ligaments and tendons you need as you get older to be able to function without falling and breaking and dying. You get weaker, you get frailer, or you can get stronger. Like I said, I'm stronger today than I was in the military. When I was in the 101st Airborne, I could not do what I'm doing today. Now, I can't run like I did then because I have no interest in running and I'm not going to pursue it. If I'm going to run, it's going to be for 50 feet. It ain't going to be for 5 miles. I don't need to be able to run 5 miles at 51 years old. I need to be able to move furniture and go fishing and hunting and trapping and do the yard work and do stuff like that, be able to protect my family. I don't need to run 5 miles. It's not in my purview right now. It was in the Army because you had to. So if you're kind of interested in the conjugate system, which is basically controlled organism chaos, which builds functional strength over a huge base, get the methods of training from Louis Simmons that you can get from westsidebarbell.com. Read it. If you're not into weightlifting, it is going to seem very confusing. You will have to go to YouTube and figure out some of this stuff he's saying. I've had to. He speaks his own language. It's just different. But if you read it enough and you get an idea, you realize weightlifting does not have to be boring. Getting stronger can be fun. Because every one of these max effort days, I've got a big piece of cardboard that's right next to where I'm lifting at my home gym. And I write down bench 315, incline 275. When I do my incline press today, whatever that is whatever it is. And then I can see progress when I get back to that exercise, whenever that is. 5 pounds is awesome. 10 pounds is awesome. 20 pounds is awesome. It's just getting stronger. And next time we'll talk about dynamic work, because you need a bit of, I'm not going to say special equipment, but you may have to get a little creative with your equipment when you start using bands and stuff like that for dynamic day. That builds explosiveness. See, that's how you can do what he's doing, is you're not doing the same thing every day, every week, every month, and not really getting anything. That's why most people in the gym look the same today as they did last year. That's why most people in the gym are just as weak today as they were last year. If you want to get better, you're going to have to figure out a way to do it smarter. And you're going to have to figure out a way to actually use how your body works to get there. Mindless lifting weights is exercise. What I'm talking about, guys, is training. And I'll talk to y'all next week.